Hey, Brian. Mark Minier. Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Nope.
How are you, sir?
Hang on, I need to check it out.
Yeah, there's like a whole swath of keys you have to go through. This is like
Kung Fu. Yeah, that's what you would think they have, a little buzzer.
Yeah, a little swipe or something like that.
I need to get out.
Mark, I feel so bad.
I know. I got the funny feeling now I get to stand. I get to stand, but no, dude, you're fine.
No, Brian, relax. Anyways, let me, I'll wait for the chair to come over.
That works.
Yeah, that works. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you gentlemen need to, you can just move that.
Yeah,
we'll probably do that.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. They were really nice.
Yeah. Okay. Brian, first of all, how are you doing? I mean, because the job thing for you, the job thing for me, doesn't matter. It doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's about your family, about your health and stuff. So,
I
honestly tell you that from the bottom of my heart. How are you doing?
I'm okay. It just kind of seemed to all implode at one time. It was like everything seemed to be going in the right direction, and maybe it wasn't.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of players probably behind the scenes, and I just floored me that it could be this bad, that, you know, because then you talk about $180 million worth of permits. Is that legitimate? Is anything Stewart was running legitimate?
You wonder what the real truth is.
Yeah.
That's
going to be overwhelming.
Well,
yeah.
And then one of the things, too, is like the confidentiality. You can't talk to these people, but you have to sit in front of them and talk about stormwater tax when you're like, wow, did you rip off veterans?
Right.
You know, so that's... It's just a very stressful place to put my family. That's my number one goal, is
sure.
My family.
Sure.
And this job has seemed to just take away from my family.
Uh-huh.
My focus has been on this job and not my family, and that's what I don't like.
Yeah.
You're a carpenter by trade, jack of all trades, that way.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What made you get into it? And let me just say this, by the way, for the sake of the record. I appreciate, Mark and I both appreciate, you can call me Brad. We both appreciate you know, willingly sitting there talking to us. You don't have to talk to us. The door is unlocked. You can go anytime you want. So I just want to say thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know you've got other things that you're worried about. I spoke to your mom and your wife and your uncle, and they're all concerned about you, all love you. And I tried to tell them, I said, listen, here's the deal. I'm not trying to put Brian in harm's way. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to help Brian get out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just understand that's our intent on there, Brian, is not to put you in harm's way on there. And I just want to let you know I do really appreciate it. Since you've been in here, by the way, are they taking good care of you?
This place?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it depends on what you call good care.
Are you getting some, are they starting to get you some counseling?
No pillows, no training. And that's another thing, is you're not allowed to talk to anybody. It's like everything is so confidential. It's like,
HIPAA laws,
and do you want to put that on your wife and your kids and your mom? No way.
Right.
I don't want to deal with that. So.
Understand. Well,
but yeah, it's not a bad place. I mean, I think they're getting me in the right direction.
Are they putting you in are you on meds or anything?
Yeah, they got like some antidepressants.
Okay. Was it affecting you mentally or anything? So when we're talking, I just want to make sure
that you're not going to tell me that you...
We
just started, so I wouldn't think.
Okay, I just want to make sure you're not going to tell me that Al Capone is in your back pocket
and Trump
is your brother or something like that. I'd be like,
he's not doing very well right now, so
we'll just... stay away from that.
I mean, I'm a Republican, but come on.
Not that far Republican,
though.
No. I hear you. Well, obviously, Brian, you know why we're here to talk to you about all the things that are going on in Palm Bay and stuff. I'm going to really, really seriously encourage you, because I don't know whether you realize it or not, this whole thing that's spun up with the Homes for Warriors and stuff is a very small tip of the iceberg. The FBI and FDLE have been working and looking at this whole thing for the last couple of years. Okay, do you realize that? It's been going on for a couple of years. Yeah, you do right now.
Yeah, sir.
But prior to that, it just happened that Mr. Overton just happened to be, you know, flapping his gums at the wrong time. Otherwise, everything was going to be wrapped up. And truthfully, you may not have had a chance to sit down with us because we would have been too busy doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want you to be in a position where, you know, you've got three kids You know, you've been married, what, 12, 13 years, something like that. You got a wife that loves you, a mom that loves you, an uncle that loves you, a lot of people that depend on you and care for you. And I really want to encourage you to do two things. One, be truthful, and two, be realistic and understand that the people that you thought may be your friends and maybe the people that help you are the same people that have been feeding us information and are trying to save their own skin, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And I don't want you to be that person that goes, that's their, you know, that's their fall guy or their dupe, as they call them, where they just sit there and they just go, yeah, you know what? It was him.
Let me just say this, the first time I've ever been to anything like this, so I'm not going to be human, you know.
Yeah.
This is a really real situation.
Yeah, so. It really is. It's a very, very real situation. And I'll be honest with you, you have an opportunity now to be really the person that jumps on board and says, okay, you know what? I'm going to be completely and totally honest. I'm going to be forthright about everything, and I'm going to tell everybody what I know, because although I'm tied up in it, that's not who I am. Because everybody I've talked to about you, he's run for office 3 different times, he's a good guy, he's a hard-working, a good family man, loves his family, loves his kids. You don't hear any of this other stuff about he's a shady dude, he's got smuggling all these businesses, they go and they party and they drink and they prostitutes. You don't hear any of that about you. And that's the good thing, and that's why we're here talking to you versus talking to somebody else. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, putting all that on the table, I really want to, again, encourage you. If anything, for the sake of your family and the sake of you, this is your one chance to do the right thing for yourself and others. Because the things you're thinking that you're building up in your mind, we're not trying to build those same things up for you. Okay, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
We're trying to help you all we can. So I'm going to get a quick statement from you and find out what's going on. Let me start with doing something really basic, because I'm old. I'm probably old enough to be your father. How old are you?
36.
Close. Yeah, I'm close. I actually could be your father, but
yeah.
You're from New York originally?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, whereabouts?
Actually when I went to the military, yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
really?
My parents went in the service, and they went from Germany to there, and then right back to Germany.
Okay.
Oh, wow. My brother was born on a German air base, and then I was born in West Point.
Okay.
Right back there.
Man, it's a good place to be from. Too cold for me.
Alaska is actually the coldest place I've ever been.
Right.
Me and Sarah spent 3 years there with her parents.
Nice.
And,
yeah, that's pretty cool.
It is a beautiful place, though.
That is bone-chilling cold. Bone-chilling cold.
Negative 17, I think, is the coldest that I ever felt.
And people love it. But I understand, because that's on my bucket list, but I haven't been there, and I hear it's just breathtaking.
The day I got there, the northern lights were out, and, like, until you actually see these dancing lights in the sky, it's kind of like, wow, what? This is so crazy. Wow. Well, it's like more of a swirly type, just
right.
And across the whole sky.
Like waves.
What is going on? Because if you're from Florida, you ain't never seen a green sky before.
Right.
Like, what? How is that even happening? So then I figured out how it happened with the space crystals and the temperature difference, and that's what actually makes the stuff work and look like it moves. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let me just ask you a couple questions. Tell me about what's going on, first off.
As far as
the whole stuff that's going on at the PD, I mean not the PD, at the city.
I mean, from my take on it, and I don't know that much about it, and I'm more of like a common sense person, not a analytical dive into everything,
right.
You know, so you think you can trust people and you just can't. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I don't know how bad it is or how deep they're into it, but it just seems like, and like, because I thought the city manager's race was kind of weird, and I was really going to go against that, and then there were a lot of homeowners that stood up for him, a lot of business developers that stood up for him, and I thought that if we started that whole search again, that might do something, but then all this comes out, like, right after that, it was like, wow, I wish I would have known some of this before, but then you don't want to jump to conclusions if he has absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Well, tell me about, how did you get into politics?
I think I watched a George H.W. Bush speech, and he was like, read my lips, I will not raise taxes. And I was just hooked, and I was like, you know, one of the biggest problems I had with it is I thought the little guy and the working man could never have his voice out there. and I wanted to show my kids that the only way you can do something is if you say something. Right. So
not part of the problem, you're part of the solution. Part of the problem, part of the solution.
That's pretty much it. And then I always wanted a roller coaster park in Bombay. I always thought of Bombay people go to Melbourne. Melbourne
right.
people don't go to Bombay. Bombay needed something to attract the kids and the families back to Bombay.
Okay.
So I thought with the new interchange that this would be an ample time. And honestly, in 2012, I was probably pretty done with it.
Because you ran twice, didn't get elected, and said
well,
no more.
And then, yeah, I had did fairly well in 2012, and it just seemed that there was a couple of people that kept me from getting that seat. And
who were those?
Well, the fire department put a lot of money into Pasadena,
okay.
As far as I know. I didn't go through all her stuff, but,
right.
You know, and it was kind of funny because I have a lot of firefighters in my family, and I support them. And the police, just, you know, and veterans, I think. Aside from veterans, police, and fire, and public service, that's where it's at.
Right.
Ultimately, she won, and not by very much, and there was two other Republicans in the race. One got 8,000 votes, one got 5,000 votes. I lost by 3,000 votes, so if you take those 8,000, then I would have just got 4,000 of them, you know. It was
right there. So, you end up not making it two times. What changed this time? How did you win this one?
I just had a lot of money.
Well, how much money did you have?
Right around, I think, just short of 9,000.
Okay. And where did that money come from?
Settlement I received in 2012.
And how much was that?
It was quite a bit of money. It was $114,000.
Okay. Did you use only your own money for the election?
Yeah, for that particular issues, and I got one donation from Holiday and VK.
Okay, and those are the only donations you got for your...
And then, yeah, well, and what happened with all the money is my brother ripped me off in 2012 for about $70,000, declared bankruptcy on his construction company, and ripped a bunch of people off, and it just got very bad very quickly.
So for this current election for the city council, you said you raised about $9,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you're saying it came from where?
The settlement, the lawsuit.
All your own money, and you got Holiday Inn, how much?
What's that?
How much is the Holiday Inn?
$500.
Okay.
And that was a personal one. He wanted me to change that to a business.
And who was that?
PK.
Who's PK?
He's the manager there. I think it's called Punit Kapoor.
Okay. And he gave you $500 himself?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. And no other donations at all?
No, sir.
Okay. And so that the money, did anybody else support your campaign with any sort of donations or anything of that nature?
Well, sign waving. There was a lot of sign waving, a lot of help. Matt Diotti was out there waving. Joe Lett was out there waving.
When you say Matt Diotti, you're referring to?
John Matt Diotti.
Okay. And you're referring to Joe as Jose?
Joe Aguilar.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay. And they were saying, well, did either of them contribute anything to your campaign?
No. Not the obvious.
Okay.
But I have done some work at Joe's place.
Okay. So you end up winning an election, and then what transpired through there? Has anybody reached out to you and tried to sway your votes on anything, or encourage you to vote a certain way?
No, there's always been people that have been like, oh, well, how do you feel about this or that? And I'm like, well, if it makes sense, it makes sense. You know, as far as, I always have this thing. It either makes sense or it doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? So if you're trying to rezone something, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're going to rezone something. I'm just going to tell you, you can present your case, they can present their case. But there are people that want to get a yes and a no from you.
Okay. So you've had nobody that's offered you, that's supported you or offered you any sort of enticement to vote a certain particular way other than you're making your own statements and own opinions?
No, yeah, not anything like, hey, here's, you know, this or that, or... You know, I drive a 96 Ranger. I live in a rental house.
Right.
nothing extraordinary. You can look at my bank account one at a time and make it as opposed to the positive.
Where do you know John Maggiotti from?
The 2007 election, he made fun of my socks because I wore white socks, but that's all I had.
Okay. And where do you know, and how would you rate your, describe your relationship with him?
It's okay. He's asked me to come look at his porch, but I never have. I've never even been to his house, as a matter of fact. He's got some rotten 2x12 on the back that he wants me to come look at.
And how do you make your living now?
I was working at one insurance group, and just right now the city, and it's just been very stressful.
What is one insurance group?
Christopher Robbins Company. He does sponsors First Friday. I was thinking about getting into insurance and out of construction because of the older I get, I've had knee surgery, I've had back surgery, so I just knew I couldn't do that.
How do you know Christopher?
I met him through First Friday. He was actually looking for an insurance agent, but he wanted me to learn the systems before I went out and tried to sell insurance.
Okay. Tell me about your relationship with Joe. How'd you meet him?
I'm not sure. I think John Maggiotti is how I met him.
Okay. How long ago did you meet Joe?
September. He was a candidate in the race. And he asked me what my focus was, and I was like, family.
September of 2016?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So he's a candidate, and what did he do, drop out?
He did.
Okay. And why did he drop out and let you stay in there?
From what I've gathered from later conversations with Jeff Bailey, had called me and said that he was a felon and didn't think he could win.
Okay. And so he threw his support behind you?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. So you say Joe and John Maggiotti are friends?
I would think so.
You would think so, or they are?
Yeah, I mean, they have coffee and stuff, so yeah, I would imagine they're friends.
Okay, does Chris know any of these guys? Chris Robinson?
I'm sure he probably does. He's very active in the city of Bombay doing the First Friday.
Okay.
So
you ever seen him together with any of these guys?
Yeah.
Okay, who's he been with?
Joe, at the First Friday at Sunworks there as well.
Joe Sunworks, okay. You realize that when I ask you a lot of these questions, I already know the answer.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I already know that Joe and Chris are friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to really strongly caution you to be forthright and honest about it. This has been going on a lot longer, and you can tell by our age that we've been doing this for a long time.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Tell me about this whole, why are you so upset that you're contemplating suicide?
Well, there's several different things. We left our house at 170 Hearthside, and we moved. That was a big thing, and I wanted to leave that house in better condition, but I couldn't, so that was a very stressful thing. And then it's just the negative impression that we're going to leave on the city that is just, I don't want my family to have to deal with.
Okay. Brian, can I interrupt for a second? Is that all right? Mm-hmm. You seem like you're a really good guy. Okay. What Agent Lewis was telling you, we're not here by accident. And the way we talk to people, generally we don't know everything, but we usually know quite a bit.
Yeah, yes, sir.
And you're a smart guy. You're an intelligent man.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Even smart people can get themselves in a position that, you know, maybe one bad judgment here, one bad judgment there, and the next thing you know, you're wrapped up into something in your normal life would never get into. But suddenly, after maybe one bad decision here, one bad decision there, and suddenly you're kind of in a tight spot.
Mm-hmm.
We all three in this room know that you weren't despondent over what you're telling us about last night. It was a little more than that. Okay? We already know a good chunk, not everything. We already know a good chunk of what's going on. We came here in good faith.
Yes, sir.
Because we feel that of all the people that we've looked at, of all the folks that we could have a good sit-down with, and somebody who actually has a conscience,
yes, sir,
and somebody who's worried about his reputation, not just with the city, but the big thing with you is your reputation with your family. And you tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're 100% right.
I know I'm right. Okay? We didn't, again, we're not here by accident. We came here to talk to you. And you're still, you have that little internal struggle going on right now, where you just want to sit down and say, you know what, agents, this is kind of what's going on. But you have that little fear factor that's holding you back for so many things are probably going through your head right now. The only thing I would really strongly suggest to you is the only chance you really have right now is talking to us and getting everything out, and not this, well, you were worried about it. You were very despondent last night because you've made a few decisions, poor decisions, maybe not just not thinking it through, and then suddenly you're wrapped into something that you had no idea.
Oh, yeah, I just turned to alcohol,
and you tell me, if I'm wrong, you can look at me, right, and you can tell me, you know, Agent Minear, you're wrong. Go ahead and tell me, at any point in this,
I'm sorry.
If you think I'm wrong about, there's much more here.
No, sir.
Okay. What I'm asking you, though, instead of making us play a fishing game,
where
we've got to throw the lure out, because there's so many things we already know, it's kind of disrespectful to you and to us.
Yeah,
when we already know it, we're all kind of playing this little dance here. And the problem is like I said, we're here for because we think you're the one person that has a conscience, has a family, has values, that maybe made some oopsies, but is ready to say, you know what, I want to get on this train because I don't want it to run over me. Mm-hmm. That's why you were despondent last night. Okay? There's a lot more for us to talk about, and Agent Lewis has some very specific questions. But please understand, I just don't, us dancing like this.
No, you're fine.
It doesn't feel good, okay?
Yes, sir.
So, I have an idea. How about we talk honestly about things that everybody in this room already knows the answers to.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's start with your relationship with Joe, because that's the crux of it. Okay, so tell me about how this all spun up and what was expected of you.
I mean, I don't think anything was actually expected of me. I just think that he wanted to push his agenda or get his businesses or get his medical marijuana stuff or do his stuff. And I think that was his thing. You know, I don't think it was ever like obviously I think he was trying to benefit himself in a way.
There is hope for you, by the way. That is the first time you've been forthright and honest with me. Just
thank you.
I'm
sorry.
That's okay. You're
Brian.
Look, aren't you nervous?
Let me tell you something. Shake my hand. Okay? I'm a man. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I've been married 32 years.
Yes, sir.
I've made a ton of mistakes in my life. I'm 50-something years old. I don't want you to think that you're the first person that's made mistakes. Okay? You, sir, are someone that is a good person. Just like I said, when I told you about the things that we've learned, through recorded conversations, phone and otherwise, interviews, evidence gathering of all sorts over the last year and a half, we've heard nothing but good things about you, with the exception of you were gullible. And there was a certain business person in Palm Bay that is not, in my opinion and many other people's opinion, a very honest person, that he has agendas that he's pushing. And by you telling me and confirming what we already know, I now can get on board and believe that you are somebody that I can go to bat for, if you understand what I'm saying. When you tell us these stories about stuff that we know is not true and we can prove are not true, it doesn't help you, and it just gets us a little upset, and you can understand why. So I do appreciate it, because I know it's not an easy thing to be perfectly candid with two strangers at all on this. So let me ask this, where did you first come across Joe, and did he approach you, I assume, or did you approach him?
No, he approached me.
Okay.
I mean, like, when you look at hindsight, and even further back, you know, you can kind of see people trying to set up dominoes.
Right.
That maybe I was just blind to, or just naive, I guess.
I think probably naive, too. You haven't been involved in this thing, and these are people that have, I mean, look at the whole core group of Palm Bay. You've got some people that have been in government and in politics, and in my opinion, dirty politics for a long time, and here comes you. And they go, nice guy, honest guy, we can use him. And that's the sad, I mean, I hate to say that, but that is, in my opinion, the truth. Would you agree with that or disagree with that?
At this point in time, yeah.
Tell me about how did Joe approach you, and who was behind, when you say the whole domino effect, who was involved with this domino effect?
I mean, to be honest with you, I think Iznardi was setting up something to where he could control everything. That's really where I feel.
Why do you say that?
Just like it seemed the moves he is trying to make and the people that he supported, that he wanted control of all these budgets, either the county budget or the city budget or you know.
Let's start with Dave. What did he control or what did he want to control?
I mean, I believe he completely controls Harry.
Controls who? The Harry Santiago?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. Why do you think that?
They're just very, very good friends.
Okay. There's more to it than that, but I need you to say that. What else do you know?
I don't really personally know a lot about them. I've never really liked Dave. Dave has called me. My wife and I had breakfast with him and his wife at IHOP, and he was always like, oh, you know, we can help you. There's walk lists out there. We can show you the stuff. And then just would never, ever call me back or anything.
Walk lists?
Or ever help me. Well, yeah, to knock on doors and stuff. Oh. You know, you get a Republican walk list,
right,
and stuff like that. And then just the way he got the Andy Anderson job, and then he got this job, and it was just, I mean, it didn't make a lot of sense.
How did he get Andy Anderson's job?
Well, the county commissioner thing. He got the chief of staff, I believe it was.
Okay.
I'm not sure how he got that. It was kind of, and then Andy gets a job, and then Dave gets a job. And
what do you specifically know about? Tell me, as far back on, because I know this whole description of how you got your money and the whole stuff is not accurate. So,
yes.
Where did you get your money for your campaign?
From Joe.
Okay. How much did Joe give you?
$9,000.
Okay. And when did he get that to you?
It was over several weeks.
Okay. And did he give it to you in cash?
Yes,
check?
Sir.
Okay. And do you remember approximately when?
Not really, sir.
If the election was in when? November of 2016?
Yeah, I think it was like September, October.
Okay. And how many different increments did he give you?
I believe it was twice, maybe three times.
Okay. So 2 to 3 times, and he gave, in that 2 to 3 time period, he gave you $9,000 in cash?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you remember the increments? Did he give you 2,000, 2,000, 3,000? Did he, what did, I mean, how did it all work?
I think it was pretty much like that.
Actually, that doesn't even add up. 2,000, 2,000.
It might have been like 25, 2,000. It might have been 4 times, because I think it was like 25, 25, 25.
Okay. Do you think, or do you know that?
I'm not quite sure, sir. Eventually it weighs too much.
Okay. Do you remember where he gave it to you?
Several different places, a parking lot, where are the initials of that place, the BBYAC or something, it's in Pompey, we did a debate there or something.
BBYAC?
No, it's like, it's so many things, because it's the Bavard Coalition of the Haitian thing, it's off Pompey Road right to the right, somewhere by the fire station. It's just so many initials I can't remember. It was like a Haitian sports
by station. Harris by the fire station, or
no, the old Pompey Road fire station.
Yeah,
where that little strip mall is.
Okay, yeah.
So you met him in the parking lot there?
Well, yeah, I just did a debate.
Okay. So that was after a debate there?
Yes, sir.
And how did that all come about? What was the arrangement that he made with you?
Well, there was no arrangement. There wasn't like, oh, you're going to vote this way or that way. It's just like, yeah, we need a good family man in there.
Okay.
I had lost before, and that's obviously not a good feeling. And, you know,
okay.
I was trying to move things in the right direction and do the right things, and obviously I didn't, and that was a very bad mistake.
Yeah, but it's something that you're going to get through, okay? So don't build things up. past where they are. You've got, I told you, and I mean it most sincerely, I'll be the best advocate I can be for you when it comes to this. But you have to be honest with me.
Yeah,
yeah, sir. It's like my kids. I tell my kids, I'll do anything in the world for you if you're honest with me. And I'm sure you've got teenagers now or a teenager, so you know what that's like. It's very important to have that relationship with them. So the first $2,500 you got from Joe was in that parking lot after the debate?
No, it was at a hotel.
Okay. And what hotel is this?
The Holiday.
Okay. And how did that come about?
He just sat here. This will help.
Did you meet him there on purpose? Were you in a room? Did you?
No, there was several folks there just talking about the election and what John's chances were of winning the mayor's seat, and he just happened to be there.
Was it a fundraiser or what was it?
No, it was like just a general. I think there was a Chamber of Commerce lady there, Vicki Nordstrom or something like that.
Okay. Who else was there?
If you don't mind, can I interrupt real quick? He just happened to be there with $2,500 cash?
Well, no, I'm sure he had a plan.
Okay, that's why I just want to make sure I understand. Okay.
No, that's not my... at that point, I didn't know that was the first, you know...
Okay.
Just like, okay, what the hell did he do now?
I'm sorry.
You know, what did he say to you in this... Was that the first time that he had talked to you about financially supporting your campaign?
They never actually talked about financially supporting me. He just said that I was the best candidate, and that just kind of was like, here you go, and I was just kind of taken aback. And it just never happened.
Okay.
Who said that?
Joe.
Okay.
And where did that occur at the Holiday Inn?
The meeting room.
Remember what meeting room?
No, sir.
Who else was there inside the room that happened?
Nobody.
So it's just you and Joe?
Yes, sir.
That were in the room, and he approaches you, supporting
yes,
you, and says, this never happened.
Well, and then I went back out to the meeting where they were all sitting having coffee, and I was just kind of like, I don't even know what to do right now.
Where was everybody else?
At the coffee table, there's like a little, you go in, and there's an entrance, and there's some coffee tables, you know, for like the continental breakfast that we get to.
Was it in the daytime then?
No, it was nighttime, but I was just, you would have your continental.
That's what it was. Okay. Who else was there?
Like I said, Vicky was there. I believe Bill Redinger might have been there.
Who was Bill?
This Democrat.
What was he doing there?
Just supporting John, saying that he hated Kabobi.
Okay.
I know there was a couple other people. James Boyd, I believe, was there.
James Boyd?
Yeah, I think he's a firefighter. That might not be... I think that's his name. I'm pretty sure it might be Booth. Or he was a paramedic at some point in Bombay.
Booth or Boyd?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I know there's another guy named James Booth, and I don't think there's anything.
And what was the purpose of the meeting?
Like I said, they were discussing John's campaign. It wasn't even really about my campaign.
So everybody was there to rally behind John.
Yeah.
And do you remember anybody else who was there? There was Vicky there. There was Bill there. There was this James Booth. There was Joe. There was you. Who else? Obviously, was John there?
Yeah, sir.
Okay. Who else?
I think that might have been it. There was only five or six people.
Okay. And walk me through the meeting. You have a meeting, and then... Everybody goes out and has coffee, or?
Well, they just sat and had coffee, and they were going over a flyer that John wanted to put out.
Okay.
And he was like, you know, look at this, what do you think, how much is this race going to cost? And I think 50 said like $30,000.
How did you end up in a room by yourself with Joe?
Yeah, he just asked to speak with me. And went over, we had the cup of coffee, I made a cup of coffee, that's when I had the family man conversation about I was a good family man, I was a good person, I could do all the right things, and then just kind of 360.
They just lured you in and with the cash, and then, boom.
Yeah.
You're a great guy, we want you for families, we want you to do the right thing, here's some money.
Yeah.
What was the second time that he gave you $2,500? Do you remember if that's the first time, how much later after that?
I don't recall. It had just been a couple of weeks, though.
Okay. And you estimate it would be about 2 weeks later?
Yeah, somewhere in that. They did find stuff.
And where did that happen?
I'm not sure.
Do you remember if anybody was around?
Usually there was nobody ever around.
Did he, when he gave you the money the first time, second time, third time, or fourth time, he gave you that $2,500, did he ever go on off and say, hey, was anybody guiding your campaign at that point, I guess?
No. It's always been just me.
Okay.
I don't have like a giant net of friends and stuff. And gosh, I would have never met this person who is not a friend.
Clearly.
So it was just pretty much
okay.
Me doing my thing. And I just happened to be a pretty good speaker. So,
okay.
People want to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So you just tell them the truth. So when I did these debates and just told them the truth, a lot of people were like, yeah.
Refreshing.
You know, wants to go in the right direction. You know, the trash can thing was stupid. Not fixing the roads was stupid. Just in the little blight of the county forever.
Right.
So it was nice to see everything moving in a positive direction. And I think that I thought I could change that, you know, without
selling your soul to the devil.
I guess, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, do you remember when the third time that he gave you?
I believe that was the Bombay Road.
Okay. And do you remember the last time?
I don't, sir. I'm sorry.
You don't remember anything about when? And how was he giving you this money? Was it? Do you remember the increments that the bills were in? Do you remember how you had it contained? Was it in an envelope? Was it just a stack of cash? What?
Yeah. Most of the time, it was just a rubber band. All sorts of different kinds.
Do you know how Joe makes his money?
I thought he was a businessman.
What businesses?
I thought he had a tire shop, but apparently that's his brother's.
Okay.
And then he flips houses. So.
So you get elected. When's the first time anybody tries to intercede and utilize your position to push an agenda they have? And who was that?
I don't really get the stuff. Give me a second on that one.
Sure.
There wasn't any really super major decisions that we made at the beginning, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was just like rezoning and variances and stuff. But I know Brian West and Jason Steele were very interested in getting their stuff done. But I told them, you know, that if it made sense, then it would pass, and if it didn't make sense, it wouldn't pass. And then he actually texted me to make the motion, and I did. I'm pretty sure Trey made the motion, and it did make sense on what he wanted to do.
We'll start with Brian West. How do you know Brian?
I didn't know him previous to this.
When did you meet him?
One time he just asked me to meet him to tell me who he was at that same holiday and, you know, what his background was, and that he was in the grocery stores and developing and wanted to see Pompeii grow.
How did he get your number? How did he come in contact with you?
I honestly couldn't tell you, sir.
He call you or he showed
you?
Yeah. Okay. So he called you. Do you remember how long after you got elected that he called you?
No, sir. It would be whenever that.
And when you say that, Bill, what were they trying to get done?
Rezoning
of what?
Plantation Circle.
What was the difference with it?
I'm not quite sure. I think they went from residential to commercial because it's right on Babcock.
And so they wanted it to go from being residential to a commercial property?
Yeah, I think so, sir.
And so this guy, Brian West, calls you up out of the blue. What does he say to you?
We didn't even talk about that. He just said that he... First off, he talked about me a lot. You know what I mean? What I did in construction. And then, hey, you know, if you ever need any work. I'm like, no, I don't need any work. And then he's like, well, you know, we got a big issue coming up. So hope we can count on your support. And I said, you know, I can't tell you either way because I don't even know what this is all about. And I really didn't. And it had been a big item prior to me being here because there were a lot of folks against it and for it. So.
Okay, so he's got this big initiative, and he's specifically talking about the rezoning issue of the plantation.
I think in a roundabout way without saying, you know what I mean, like, hey.
But so this perfect stranger comes up to you and in a couple minutes just lays it out there for you.
Well, no, not at all. We sat down, like I said, he was getting me comfortable talking about me, blah, 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 how do I see things, where do I want Pompeii to go. And I really had no idea who he was or what he was, any of these developers. You know, I never knew Paul Paluzzi, I never knew Ben Jeffries, I never knew any of these people.
Right.
So.
Until they started creeping out of the woodwork.
Well, yeah, they all want something.
Who was Brian with when he met you?
Nobody. It was just us.
Just him. Okay. How long, again, back to when you got elected, how did you have any scope? I mean, you say it was around that time it was coming up for a vote for zoning. You remember approximately six months?
I think it was two months, somewhere in that time.
A couple months after you're elected? Okay. So it's a couple months after you're elected. What's the next person that's approached you? And did Brian ever at any point, because, you know, other than saying, I want your support on this, did he ever engage you again about supporting this and making, or did anybody on his behalf?
He gave us flowers, and then he talked to me about opening a dry cleaning business. I told him I thought that's a way you can make a lot of money is if you had a laundromat. You know what I mean? Because the laundromats do the things themselves. You change the coin collectors to bill acceptors, and they run themselves.
Right.
And one person to do that. And he said, he had this lady that hasn't paid her lease in like a year or so, and we could turn it into a laundromat. And I'm like, yeah, well, you're absolutely crazy if you think I have enough money to open a laundromat. And he's like, oh, there's people that loan that out, but I never got back to them or spoke with them about it again.
Was that during the first meeting?
No, that was the second meeting.
Okay. And how long after the first meeting was that?
Months.
Say months, are we talking about 2 months, 10 months?
No. It has to be like another 2 months.
Okay. A couple months later, does he call you? Does he show up? What?
Yeah, he called me and said, you know, are you still interested in opening a laundromat? I said, yeah, I might be. Because I guess he owns property on the beach.
Okay. So second call, he asked you about the laundromat?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And does he offer anything? And he says, I'll offer you the laundromat if you get this thing passed, or how did he?
No, not at all. He was just, you know, everybody knows I'm a lot out of the construction field. So he was like, you said this was your thing. I think he thought maybe I had a lot more money in the bank than I did and that I could open a laundromat.
Right.
Like it would be one or two dryers if I could do that.
Right. So do you have any other contact with him after this?
No, sir.
Okay. Who approached you? Did anybody else approach you about this particular project, we'll say, the zoning?
No, I met with Ben Jeffries, and he said that the Stuart Buchanan was holding him up because the mayor wanted some stuff, and that he wouldn't give it to him, and that they'd gotten a shouting match, and that was at Ben Jeffries' office. And then I met with Paul Paluzzi.
Well, let me go through.
Yep.
Ben. How do you know Ben, or how did you meet him?
I didn't know him. His secretary, Rochelle, called about Cedar Bay, PUD they had coming up, which was already on the agenda and already had been approved. And we had a meeting in the legislative department where she just pretty much laid out their plans that they had that had already been approved.
Okay.
And just said there was some roadblocks as far as Stuart Buchanan was concerned.
Okay. So who was in the meeting?
That was just me and Rochelle, and then we had a second meeting because she was like, oh, well, Ben would like to meet you.
And this was where? Where was
it's over off there on like North Drive, wherever his office is.
Was it at his office?
Yeah, that's right.
Ben, what type of work does he do full time?
I believe he's a developer. He did like Bayside Lakes over there.
And Rochelle, what can you tell me about her?
Secretary, as far as I know.
Why was she there and not Ben? And she called you and sets a meeting and says, can you come over?
The first time she called Rose and asked for a meeting. which is the secretary at City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea who she was, so I was going to get her. You know, you don't try not to turn down meetings with people, so.
Okay.
We went in the legislative department, she showed me the aerial view and a couple other views of the property and what they wanted to do and their plans for the property, and that was pretty much that. And then she was like, Mr. Jeffries would like to meet you, and then again they set that up through Rose.
Okay. Did you end up meeting with Mr. Jeffries?
Yeah, yes, sir. That was the office that I told you about.
And how long after that was that occur?
A week, maybe a week and a half.
Do you remember when the first meeting was originally?
I don't. I want to say in March sometime.
And so, week and a half later, you go and you meet with Mr. Jeffries in his office again. Was anybody else in there?
Rochelle was in there as well.
Okay. So.
Well, and it was kind of in the conference room. I don't know if you want to say office, but.
Okay. So you meet with Ben and Rochelle, and what happened then?
They laid out this plan, and there were some dotted lines that they were having issues with, that they couldn't get driveways through, and Stuart was holding it up, and that we needed to finish our section of the 95 interchange because we were holding them up and costing them a bunch of money.
So about the St. John's?
The Cedar Bay project they wanted.
Okay. And so what did ultimately what were they asking for?
I'm not quite sure because at that point Patrick Murphy had called their office and they were talking about the dotted lines that somebody had said was a road but wasn't a road and what they needed to do, so they were bringing that before the council that night.
Okay. Did at any point Mr. Jeffries or Rochelle ask you to vote for this in lieu of compensation or anything like that?
Are
they going to do anything for
it? Not at all.
So these people...
And I mean, I was pretty supportive of this project because I thought if that interchange opened and there wasn't, you know, stuff there, commercial development there, then we would lose a lot of opportunities that we had as far as drawing people from the south up and getting people to stay in Compton.
Who else has approached you about trying to influence you in which they were offering compensation or you received compensation?
Never got any compensation. I will say David Nardi calls and says that he's trying to get a consensus on an agenda item that he would like to put on there, but you need at least a feeling that it should be on there.
For which project?
Just general, like the Stormwaters Act. He wanted on there.
And when did he approach you about that?
The Stormwater Act issue was killed at the last meeting, but the last meeting just went on forever. So I don't think that they really knew what they were doing when they did that because that department is so underfunded.
Okay. So when did he approach you about that?
He just called me and asked, you know, said that Jarvis said that it was seriously gonna, and there's an email about how it gets into how much it's gonna cost if we don't do anything. So I'm not quite sure when it's there.
And what was he asking you to do?
Nothing. He was asking me if we wanted to revisit it.
Okay. So he just asked you to
revisit. Did I want to revisit it? That I thought I made the right decision, and I was like, well, you know, I was more comfortable around the $9 range, but if nobody really wanted to talk about it, it was just kind of like, let's get the heck out of here, so we might have made too quick of a decision on that particular issue.
Tell me about other people that have approached you and requesting things that they wanted to get pushed through, that you were offered something, even if you didn't accept it. That you were offered something in lieu of.
I don't think that's ever really happened just because I'm so new. I'm pretty, you know, that's never, nobody's ever been like, hey, here's this for this.
Think about some of the conversations you may have had, especially regarding certain people that were supporters of yours and other people about votes that were coming up about things. It could be things like St. John's, could be things like insurance for the city, could be all sorts of other things.
I don't think we voted on any of those. I know Paul Paluzzi and Brenda Yates, we met, but they didn't say anything, you know, and I support Emerald City, obviously. I don't think anybody's ever been like tit for tat, you know.
Has anybody ever talked to you about the interchange?
No. Paul Paluzzi, but that's the Emerald City thing, never the interchange itself.
Well, what did Paul Paluzzi talk to you about?
The Emerald City.
And what specifically did he talk to you about?
They just kind of really showed me what it was and that they had $1.8 million worth of permits invested in there. They were trying to grow Bombay. They had this little book that they had, you know, that kind of spelled it out. But he never said anything like, I need you to vote for this way or that way. And I don't even know that came up because I think that got kicked down the road because they had issues with Stuart Buchanan as well.
What about insurance?
I don't know anything about
coming up for insurance for city employees and it going to certain people specifically versus putting it out for bid.
I honestly have no idea about that part. I mean, I would assume that you're talking about, you know, Christopher Robinson and him trying to get the bid. And I don't think that he did. I'm not quite sure. I think that was before I ever even got there. But I'm pretty sure that we haven't voted on any kind of insurance issues since I've been there.
Tell me about conversations you've had with Joe specifically regarding things that he wants you to do with your position.
There was nothing said to me particularly like do this or do that. I know there was like a junkyard thing that got zoned before I was ever even there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only thing that I ever knew because there was something with St. Andrews or something that they did. And I, from what I knew, that was a him and Mo Allen thing. That was all the kids. So.
Okay. Nobody else from the city was involved in that junkyard deal?
I have no idea. I wasn't there. I'm not sure. And I'm pretty sure he wouldn't tell me if they were. You know what I mean?
Tell me about, you spent a lot of time with Joe, more than you seem to lead. So tell me about Joe's interaction with other people that were involved in the politics of Palm Bay.
I'm sure he's probably got a heavy hand in there.
Well, I know you know he has a hand in there, so how you give me examples of what you know, what you have been privy to, what have you, because I'm trying not to divulge
May
too
I?
Much, but yes, go ahead.
We're back at the...
No, we're good.
Okay. I'm just, we're kind of there, and I just want to help you get over the hump
good.
A little
we're
bit.
Good.
Are you sure we're good?
Yeah, we're good.
Because I'm not sure we're good.
No, we're good.
Okay, so that's
we're
where
good.
I'm at.
You know what we're getting at. There's allegations of just all sorts of nonsense, and I just
and you
I
close
like
back
I,
up again.
Because you know. You
no,
know,
no, I'm not. I'm not at all. Not
okay.
at all. I'm just trying to see where we're at, and it's not even like that. You know what
okay.
I mean? I want to answer the question the right
sure.
way. Being not untruthful is just the right way. You know, because if you're asking a specific question, I want to make sure.
Can I throw something out real quick?
Yeah.
And just of my own curiosity. Did Joe ever help you out financially in any other way?
I worked at his farm.
Okay. And what happened with that?
He built a barn out there.
Okay.
And he asked for, you know, I've built a lot of things, and he asked for my expertise on it, so I told him how he could do it, and we did it.
Did he ever loan you or give you any other money that you haven't told us about yet? And that's okay. Let's talk
no,
about
no,
it.
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
All right.
You know, obviously, I know he's very close with Greg. I don't know how close he is with Dave. I know he's. I don't think he's close with Andy Anderson at all, really.
Well, there's a couple things that we already know, and we're just kind of waiting for you to share with us.
Okay.
And that's why I'm not trying to be coy, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No.
Agent Lewis doesn't want it. The things we know. And it makes me uncomfortable if we have to kind of play that dance. It's just
I'm not
so there's a couple little things that we're, well, little and not so little, that we're waiting to hear, and we just haven't heard them yet.
Okay.
And we're throwing you lifelines.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Brian, I don't think you know. We're throwing you little lifelines,
uh-huh.
Okay? Little things that help you.
Yes.
But you got to take them.
Again, I've never been in this
position. Sure, sure, sure. But I'm telling you how it works.
And I didn't know that these guys had been in this position ever, and that's what kind of got me so... You know what I mean, and I understand what you're saying, and I appreciate
But we're throwing you those little lifelines, okay? We know things. We're kind of waiting to hear it from you.
Yes, sir.
And there's just a few we're just not hearing yet. It's uncomfortable.
We're good.
And let's...
I'm trying to be completely...
I know you are, but let's... And it's nervous, and you're upset, and I understand that. But let's kind of get past the fact that we already know.
Cause yes, sir.
Brian, we already know.
Yeah.
Okay.
No,
All right.
I 100% know that.
Fabulous. Then let's...
Tell me about Joe's relationship with Greg and why you say they're close and what that entails.
I don't know specifically how they know each other or whatever. From my understanding that he helped them on his wife die. I don't really know that. The only thing that I knew is because I didn't know Greg's wife died or anything, and then he had told me that his wife died and that Joe was a good friend to him. So I was okay with that, but I don't know what strings he pulls, and we've never talked together, like me and Greg and Joe, about anything specifically related to the city. I know that he wanted his medical marijuana thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of other people do, too.
Right.
So as far as Andy Landon and Rick Workman and a couple other folks.
What's their role in it?
So
Joe wants to start a dispensary. What corner is that supposed to be at?
Echinova.
Okay, Echinova. What has he done to make that happen?
I don't think anything, because as far as I know, the state has gotten rid of that completely for this go-around this year.
Right. What has he tried to do, and who has he reached out to get that happen?
I would assume Andy Landon, because Andy Landon brought it to us, but I could be completely wrong about that.
Okay. Is Andy and Joe close?
I'm not quite sure, but they are both from Boston. I'm not saying that means anything. So.
Tell me about Joe's interaction with Greg, though. What have you seen with your own eyes or heard with your own ears?
I know they go fishing quite a lot, and they try to keep everything between themselves.
How do you know that?
Just like if they're having a conversation, it's generally not around other people, you know, aside from hello and then let's walk over here.
Do you have any idea of how long you've known each other? How long Joe and Andy, Greg and Joe have known each other?
I honestly don't.
Okay. When did you first see them together and how do you know they went fishing?
I was at his barn and he was fishing in the pond and they were out there talking.
Greg was?
Yes. Yeah.
What kind of conversations have you heard them have?
Not very many. They're not, you know, it's not like they just sit there and are like, well, a lot of they'll do like the small talk thing and then just be like, okay, head on over here, which is the way most of the conversations go.
When was the last time you saw them fishing or saw Greg fishing out there?
It was quite a while ago.
The best you can recall or estimate?
I think it might have been December, January, somewhere in that time frame.
So December of 2016 and January
17?
Well, December of 2016. January. Okay. So you see them fishing. What else do you know about their relationship?
I don't know a ton about it. I really try not to get too involved in that side of it, as opposed to just being my own person and staying, and then just honestly I've been getting drunk and just passing out and trying not to deal with it at all. That's just completely honest.
I hope it feels better to rip the band-aid off.
Honestly, probably not. I'm scared.
Okay. You don't have to be scared.
For my family.
Okay, or are you scared? Why are you scared for your family?
Well, I mean, just if we're talking, if these guys stole all this money, you know, what are they willing to do to cover that up?
What guys do you think stole the money?
Well, I'm not sure. That's the thing, you know, because you would think that if Dave did it, and he's a veteran, and he ripped off that is so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that did happen. Maybe he did set it up so Christine could win. Maybe he You know, but you got a million things going through. Maybe they were trying to control the county books. Maybe, you know, I'm not, I never thought David Mundy was a great person. I was hoping he was always on the right side of stuff. But just, I mean, when you start to lay the stuff out, it's like...
Right. When it comes to Joe and Craig, do you know of anything else that, any influence that Joe holds over Greg? Do you know what he gave to Greg for his wife?
No. I don't, like, and I don't think anybody really does except those two, probably.
Have you ever seen them exchange money or Joe giving gifts to him or anything?
No, sir.
Okay.
And I would think that they would try to keep that.
How often have you been out of Joe's property?
Quite a bit. I do a lot of the horse stuff out there with my kids, and then, like I said, I help on the block.
If you estimate, how many times?
30.
From what period? How long?
Maybe more like 50 from December to February.
Okay.
And then a couple of other events.
Okay, so you've been out there a lot?
Yeah.
It's my understanding that there may be, that Joe has some firearms out there. He's got quite the extensive that you guys went out there for
shooting. I have never seen a firearm, and my son did shoot his BB gun out there.
Okay.
He might. There's a safe in the house. I used the bathroom in the house, I believe, twice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a safe. So, but I'm not sure.
We've never
fired any firearms together.
Yeah. So you weren't one of the people that was out there firing that one time?
The BB guns was the only thing. I've never been out there shooting guns.
But I think he had asked us, but just to be clear, have you seen a gun out there other than the BB gun? You didn't have to shoot it.
No, sir, I haven't, actually. But, you know, like, most of the time, the stuff I was doing wouldn't be related to that. You know what I mean? Like, being in this house or stuff like that. So, I know he does a lot of work with dogs and stuff, and, you know, that might be all the fun and stuff, but that was more of the stuff that we were into, so we were working and the, you know... And he did say I could go out there and shoot. I have a concealed weapon license. He said I could go out there and shoot.
Right.
He had a shooting berm. But
did you ever see it?
The berm?
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, sir. He said that the guy that used to live there had a helicopter and we fired with a cannon out to the berm. But that was the only thing.
Okay.
That the neighbor lived in one of.
Let me ask you this one. When it comes to Joe, who else is he close with him? City council or the city?
I think everybody.
Okay. Tell me, how about him and Gisnardi?
I think they're kind of, you know, I don't think they really like each other. I just think they have to work together.
Okay. What things have they worked on together?
I know him and Daly and all of them were together. I know him and Trey and all of them were together. I know Chris and Joe helped William Cabote.
Explain to me about how they, who's together and what agendas they're pushing.
I try not to get into any of that. I don't really know, but I'm sure there is. I'm sure you probably already know, but that's not the conversations I really wanted to have with those people. And probably just because of a lack of understanding of the position, so.
So, if I'm to listen to that, you have no working knowledge of Joe being involved in dealing with, is Joe, have you ever seen Joe, or do you know if Joe has given any gifts to any other city officials?
No, I'm sure he probably has, but I'm not aware of it.
You're not aware of any gifts that were given?
Not to my personal knowledge.
Or benefits that they've received, housing, cars, gas cards, groceries, anything of that nature?
You know, I know I can get a house or a car. They may have. I heard Trey say one time he's in foreclosure, so I'm not sure he gave them a house or a car, but I know at one point I heard that Cabote lived in his house for a long time.
Okay. Who'd you hear that from?
It was an over-the-phone conversation where he was talking about a lawsuit.
Who was talking about
it? Joe.
Okay. And did you ever know anybody that knew that to be true?
I saw it somewhere. I think somebody posted it on Facebook or it came out on something. And I believe it was like his ex-wife or something.
Is it me or these lights keep going down? Sitting there going,
the light above your head. The light above your head goes off often.
It does. It does go off more.
So how many years am I looking at?
You're not looking at any years. Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you, Brian. Well, first off, we don't make that decision. But I can tell you what happens. This at some point this is all going to culminate. We're going to wrap this thing up. Okay, the FBI and FDLE are going to wrap it up and go, okay, we've got this, and it really is almost like this. Because like you can imagine over 2 years of surveillance, recordings, everything, there's just a mountain of information. Understand? But once this is all presented to either an assistant statewide prosecutor, a state or assistant state attorney or an assistant U.S. United States attorney, we present a case to them and they determine what's going to happen on that. What happens is when we come through and we deal with somebody, we say, listen, here's the deal. We've got Brian. Brian's a newbie in there. He's run twice. Very, very honest when he dealt with us. Very remorseful. Good person, good family. Fully cooperative. And that's the big thing. Fully cooperative. There is so much leeway the state attorneys have, or the United States attorney has, to be able to take into consideration the cooperation we get from people. That's why you ever see if you watch enough TV, they know that it's generally the people that cooperate that get all sorts of consideration. Okay.
Well, I know you're not coming here without answers. I know that.
And having said that, let me tell you something. You know, when I told you that if you're straight up and you're honest with me, I'll lobby for you and advocate for you all day long. And I can tell you that as God is my witness, it's not gonna be anything that I'm gonna do for other people in this particular case. But when you're building a mountain up in your head, which potentially is there, okay, but you're not taking into consideration what you're doing now to bring that mountain down, okay. So I was gonna tell you, don't make it worse in your head than it is, okay. For other people that are involved in this case. That don't cooperate and that have a lot more culpability instead of just kind of like you got caught up in the wrong place, wrong time. It's potentially a very, very, very life-changing thing. But you've got to, if you come on board and at some point, my co-agent on this is one of the agents from the FBI, local FBI that's going to work on it. We'll get together probably on you and I on Monday or Tuesday. The three of us maybe on Monday or Tuesday or something like that. Are you due to get out Monday?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. We'll get out and we'll sit there and we'll discuss this and go through this whole thing. Okay. But you gotta, and we'll get to that point, Brian. But please don't stress yourself. You've already stressed yourself. You've already caused yourself darn near a nervous breakdown. It's not worth it. It really isn't. I can tell you honestly, we will lobby for you. Okay. And I can tell you I've seen people that have done 10 million times worse than you that have never spent a day in jail when it comes to this. I can't promise you anything, but I can promise you it's very unlikely.
You've got to do the right thing.
Huh? Yeah, it's very likely.
I'm trying.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very likely.
Like I have never been in a situation before where law enforcement has been in front of me. Hey.
Yeah, this is especially when it's embarrassing. Is it okay if I can I run something by you real quick? Okay, I'm listening, and you know, I'm listening to Brad, I'm listening to you, I'm watching your body language, and I'm listening to the things you're telling me. You're talking about drinking yourself really hard because of all the crap going on, right? Okay, you're talking about, you know, at least at some point having depressed and suicidal thoughts. So there's nothing you've told us here. You're holding back the one thing that is really, really upsetting you. Because nothing here you've told me that would be worth risking your family or anything on. And that's what my concern is. And that's good. We're making good ground. Okay, we are. But there's something there that explains why you're there. Because you got into politics because you're a good man and you want to do the right thing. You love your family. You love your community. But I'm going to guess that there's just a couple little decisions you made, rather innocently, naively, that led down to a road to where you made some decisions that you regret now. Am I wrong?
But that, I would say that's more of my personal life.
Okay.
Than anything, you know.
I mean, I'm trying to understand because
it kind of compounded from personal problems to these problems, and it's just one after the other.
Okay.
And after the other, and then it kind of all fell apart.
Because if there's something we need to talk about more, which I believe there is, and that's okay, we'll get there. Okay?
Yeah, whatever you guys want to talk about.
I want to give you this opportunity to say, you know, this is what I'm scared of. This one thing out there. Okay, this is the one thing that I'm really afraid of. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm waiting to hear that from you, and I haven't heard it yet.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, when it all comes down.
It's not, there's one thing that we haven't talked about that you're holding there that you're really afraid of. And that's why you got upset. That's why you've been drinking so hard. Because this isn't who you are.
No, yeah, but if you're really talking about related to guns and stuff, I really don't know anything.
No, I'm talking about the thing that really upsets you when all this started broken loose, the one thing that you're holding on to that you're really afraid of. And you haven't told us yet.
Not quite.
Okay.
I mean, things got crazy. My boss died.
Okay.
I found out he wasn't who he really was. You know, we worked for this other guy, Richard Bennett.
Yeah.
Screwed us over a couple different times. You know, that wasn't making enough money. My wife was supporting us.
Have you talked to anybody else about this investigation since it's broke?
Yeah, I mean, I have said stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Who did you talk to about it?
Well, specifically Joe.
Okay.
And I just told him about the checks, and that it was not going to be good for anybody.
Okay. Those are the checks that the money he gave to you?
No, sir. The checks were Trey and Don Overton. And that was Andrew Landon had briefed us and said, yep, everything's bad. And I'm like, you know, are you guys stealing millions of dollars? Like, what the shit? Like, this isn't good.
Yeah. Sure.
And then
they drug you
away, and I never talked to them again.
They drug you into this. So you had this meeting with them. When did this happen?
Honestly, I'm not quite sure.
That's okay. It's the best you can do.
I want to say.
You talking about the meeting with Lannon, the attorney, and everybody, or Joe?
I mean,
what meeting are you talking about? When you talked with Lannon or when you talked with Joe?
Yeah, I talked with Lannon, and then it had hit the paper that they were investigating the HUD thing. And then I went there and was like, yeah, the social orders thing is effed up. And he was like, wow, I wonder if David is behind all this.
Who said that?
Joe.
Okay.
And was like, yeah, this is where, you know, if you start to think back, like, oh, why were they getting all these people elected? Why was, you know, me in the county? Why did they pull the books? Like, what in the world is going on over there? Like,
why did who pull the books?
I guess Greg or Dave pulled the books from the county or something on the state as paratroopers. So I don't know if they're cooking the books or, you know.
When did that happen?
I'm not quite sure when that happened.
How do you know they pulled the books? And when you say the books?
Well, they said they went to the county and requested, like, a bunch of records requests on all that stuff.
Who told you this?
I think it was Therese Jones, because she was talking about records requests when I was in her office.
Just recently or something?
Oh, and no, Dave said people were snooping her out of the county. So,
okay.
Dave is Nardi?
Yeah.
Okay. When did you talk to Dave about this?
I have no idea. He called me on an off-topic thing and then just kind of threw that out there.
Over the phone, or did you meet with him?
Yeah, I believe we had a meeting.
Okay. Well, what happened at the meeting?
Nothing. I was like, yeah, you're screwed. You're freaking screwed.
You had mentioned the checks.
The trade checks?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody knew about those.
Help me know about
The Don Overton letter, the two checks.
Okay.
To the Holden Corporation and AC Fix and whatever else he said it was. He sent an explanation as far as I know. I don't really see those numbers that now.
Why did you tell Dave? Did you tell Dave to his face he was screwed?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of probably when this started happening, you know what I mean? Like, wow, what the shit did you do to this city? Like, what the you know, like, it just makes you wonder, is Christina in on this? Are other people in on this?
So you met with, after you learned about this, you've met with Dave Misnardi?
Yes.
Okay. You met with Joe?
Yes.
Okay, what did you specifically, and this is what's important, specifically.
Yes, sir.
What did you and Joe talk about?
Exactly what I told you, that the Homes for Warriors seemed to be, the numbers didn't line up, and that they were charging some $500,000 for homes that were worth $80,000. And then he said, specifically to me, I thought all that stuff was volunteered from Home Depot, and if you look on Facebook, everybody's volunteering stuff. How the hell did you charge that much for a house? And I honestly thought he was innocent of any of that stuff, but he may not be. He may not be, you know?
Well, what else did Joe say this me?
There wasn't very much of an FBI informant.
Did he ask if you were an FBI informant?
That kind of scared me a little bit.
Did he pat you down or anything?
No, I'm sorry.
Who else was there when you were talking to him?
Trey came out there and I left.
Was this at his house? Or?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. Did you talk to Trey at all?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what was that conversation?
He said, what happened is there was 19 windows built to one house, and that's why it looked like the house was that much money. And I said, I gotta go. I just couldn't sit there anymore. My heart was just jumping out of my chest, like when you're thinking about these kids doing this stuff, and you know, never want to be a part of that.
So this is where did you talk with Trey about this?
That was at Joe's.
At Joe's, and do you remember when this was?
It would be that same day we had the conversation.
Which day do you think that was?
Today's Friday, so.
I think it was a Monday.
Okay.
Sure it was Monday.
So if we're talking about this, this is Friday. You had the council meeting was what, last Monday?
Yeah.
Okay. Was it before that or after that?
I thought it was the Monday after the council meeting.
Okay, so that would be, you just had a council meeting this past Monday.
No, Thursday.
Was this Thursday?
No, it was last Thursday, and it should have been
last
Monday.
So you think this past Monday is when you were out at Joe's and you spoke with Trey about it?
I believe it was Monday. If you give me a couple of, you know, I can...
Okay, yeah. We're just trying to understand the time.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to...
No. I understand. The days can blend, and we're just making sure that we're clear about what we're talking about.
I mean, I think it was... I'm pretty sure it was the night after... It could have been Friday. It could have been that Friday.
The night after the meeting?
It could have been.
Now,
it could have been Friday.
Now, when Joe asked you if you were an FBI informant, I mean, how did that come about? I mean, what did he say? He had...
I guess it was found out that Stuart was an FBI informant.
Stuart?
Buchanan.
Okay.
So...
Who came up with that concept?
Huh.
I think Andrew Landon released that in a letter of no confidence when he said he was trying to sell a military equipment for $18,000 and then agreed to be an FBI informant. So I think everybody was just like, oh, everybody's wearing wires. Like, well,
you thinking that Stuart Buchanan is an FBI informant? That's what Landon say?
It's in a letter. It's in print.
Wow. I gotta see this.
It's in the letter of no confidence that he sent to Therese for the firing.
Let me get back on task with it. So you're at Joe's house either that Friday or Monday after the council meeting,
yes,
correct?
Sir.
Who's there with you? You say that...
It was just me and Joe, and then Trey showed up.
Okay.
We had a very quick conversation, and I couldn't handle it anymore.
Okay, so it's the three of you, and you have a brief conversation with Trey.
Yeah, he explains that the overbilling was an accounting error.
So, how did this conversation occur? What
Well, we were discussing the whole HUD thing. I'm like, wow, do you think David stole millions of dollars? And he's like, oh, no, it's just in a simple accounting error. They build all the windows for every house to one house. Like, yeah, I don't see that. I just do not do that.
So there were 19 windows to one house.
Something like that as an example, you know what I mean? Like all the doors got built to one house, all the drywall got built to one house. But, I mean, that's a pretty substantial accounting error.
Find the relationship with the, and did Joe say anything about that at all?
No, he might have been getting nervous because he was pretty quiet.
With Joe and Trey, what's their relationship? This is very important for you to be fully forthright and thinking about all the things.
You know, I'm not so sure because I know Trey and Stuart were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite sure of the relationship they have. I know they know each other, you know. And, I mean, I'm sure they're friends, but...
Joe and Trey?
Yeah. And he keeps, like, that stuff pretty separate, like I said, when he has separate conversations with people, you know. So if he was going to have a conversation with Trey, I'm sure he wouldn't want me there. And the same goes for...
What's Joe's relationship with Stuart?
I am not sure. I am not too sure. I know he had Stuart come out to the farm to look at the farm and make sure everything was legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I really know. I know Andrew Landon told me to watch out for Stuart because we had had some drinks at the heat. And he was like, yeah, you got to watch out for him. I'll turn his back on you as quick as he can. I think he might have mentioned something about him being an FBI informant then, but it just didn't really.
Did you ever see Joe pay Stuart any money?
I have not.
Or give him any benefit for helping him?
I no.
Are you aware of any information that he may have?
Stuart?
Yes.
No, I mean, he might have a gun, you know? I don't know. He made a junk load of money and a lot of bad decisions. He also had a drinking issue. So I know he did not like Dave, and Dave did not like him.
What about as far as Joe's relationship with Trey? Have you seen Joe or anybody else, or have you seen Trey get any money or compensation or preferential treatment for any decisions that he's made or from anybody else?
I'm not quite sure because I don't know his past decisions, and I don't think there's been any decisions that we've made, but there may have been in the whole scheme of things, the junkyard thing, and, you know.
What do you know about the junkyard thing with Trey?
Not a bunch at all. They are very hush-hush people, you know what I mean? Like, the way it was presented to me was, nobody's ever doing anything with that property. We're going to have it a junkyard. We'll make it industrial. It'll grow. It'll be great. It makes sense. Nobody's going to ever be out in the compound, so might as well do something out there. Build a dirt bike track. Build a junkyard. Do whatever you want to do.
Andy Anderson. What about Andy?
That's probably the guy I know the least about.
Seem honest, dishonest, somewhere in between?
I'm not quite sure. Not quite sure. I mean, the way that they ran that race, I'm pretty sure he had like a write-in candidate, and it was in his Zanardi that they had the write-in candidate for to disqualify all the other candidates for the Andy Anderson race. So, I mean, you can kind of see a little...
When you had the meeting with Joe, how did on that day? Who called who to meet?
Joe called me and was like, "Oh, I want to talk to you about the horse program."
Okay. And what else did he say? Did he give you? Did he ask you if anybody's come talk to you yet?
No. But I mean, everybody was pretty aware nobody had talked to me.
Okay. Did he give you any, tell you if we or anybody else were to talk to you, did he give you any instructions?
He just said we didn't do anything wrong.
You said that?
Yeah.
To say you didn't do anything wrong or
no,
you didn't
do
anything wrong?
No, we didn't do anything wrong.
Is that a true statement though?
I mean, obviously not.
And why is that?
What specifically?
The campaign money. That would be the only thing I would think that my major issue would be.
What did he tell you about that? I know he said this didn't happen, but what instruction did he give it to you regarding your reporting of that?
Nothing. He was pretty dead set, and he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah, but when he gave you, did he give you, tell you anything not to report it, or how did that work out? Did you have to report your contributions, right?
Yeah. I don't think he said anything about that. There was like an injured pigeon, and his son was getting that, and he was just like, you don't have anything to worry about, we didn't do anything wrong.
Andrew Pigeon? I mean, did I hear that wrong?
Yeah, he has pigeons there.
Okay.
And there was like a baby pigeon that fell, and his son was like, oh, little baby pigeon got hurt. So he dealt with that little issue. And then it was probably Trey that called him, and we went out back by the horses, and then Trey showed up, and we had that conversation, and I left.
And you're telling me that he's never given you any other money in any other way other than you did some work?
Yeah, no, nothing.
There was never anything else?
No, sir. It was just strictly carpentry work.
Brian, what about you've got you, Trey, and Thurselman. What's the relationship with your third partner?
I imagine you're referring to Harry?
No, not the vice mayor. Is he deputy mayor? Deputy mayor.
Yeah, deputy
I'm talking
mayor.
About the third councilman. It's Brian, no.
Bailey?
Yes, Bailey. Gosh, yeah, this is what happens when you get old. You can't remember names.
I don't know anything about Bailey. He's like a Seventh-day Sabbath or something. Mm-hmm. Is about all I know.
Is he close with Joe?
I think he was. And what I heard was that he was supposed to get a job with Dave and Andy, and that never happened.
Doing what?
Something at the county or something like that.
You ever see him and Joe interact or anything?
Never. I don't think I ever really have.
Did Joe ever talk about him?
I know he doesn't like him.
How do you know that?
Because he said, I don't like Bailey. Bailey's a fuck.
Why? Did he give any specific reasons?
I don't think there was anything too specific. He pretty much called him stupid all the time. You know, that he didn't know what he was doing.
Any other reasons?
Not that. I mean, there was never like a, I don't like him because he didn't vote this way or anything like that, but it might have been. You know, if he's attacking Greg and Joe are close, then certainly could be. It's not that he addressed that to me, but it would be somewhat obvious.
Tell me about Joe and Harry.
I don't think they really communicate. I know Harry's pretty... I don't know Harry really at all. I think he's pretty church going and stuff, and he tries to remain on the right track, but I'm not quite sure.
What about Cavote?
They have an extensive relationship.
And how would you describe it?
At one point, there was a house bought to put a Cavote sign in front of Mazziotti's house.
Who bought the house?
I believe it was Joe's house or his wife's house, and then Cavote lived in one of their houses and didn't pay them, but the trash. So,
did you hear of any corruption involving the mayor in the past? Did you hear anything of that nature?
Somebody addressed something to do, and I don't remember if it was Stewart had called me drunk sometime right after he got fired and was like, this is all fucking his Nardi and Capote trying to get his shit at the interchange.
I really
don't know what he meant by that.
Why would he call you then?
I don't know if he thought he could trust me. I'm not quite sure. And then he gave me his personal cell phone that I threw away. He's like, this is my personal number, only you and Trey have this. I was like, yeah, I probably shouldn't be having a conversation with a dude that just got fired.
Yeah, probably not a good idea.
No, so I tried to keep it, you know. And then even I didn't even know the extent of it, and I was like, you know, if this works out, then maybe you could advise the new director for a couple weeks that way, because if it's all his files, you know what I mean, and he's doing the right things, because I didn't know the extent of it at the time, and he's doing the right things, then you would want that person there to guide the new person, because he kind of made it seem like he was leaving amicably, and it wasn't his fault, from what I gathered from the letter and the way he put his rebuttal of like, oh, this is a witch hunt for me, so.
You know anything about any wrongdoings that Isnardi's involved in?
I personally don't. And I imagine he probably would have covered him up pretty good. Because he's been in this thing for, you know, a long time.
What about Trey?
Not really, but I mean, again, when you start to look back at it, you're like, well, what about this whole Holden group? What the hell is all this stuff? Like, you're getting checks from this non-profit agency. Yeah, you're a veteran, but that doesn't look very good. Like, I'm sure that's not the extent of it, because you guys ain't coming here for $2,300. It ain't happening.
Nope.
So.
What else? Because obviously, Brian, you know, we're the scope of what we're looking at is public corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No ifs or buts. Like you said, we don't get out of bed for $2,300. You know what I mean? It's not something we're going to open an investigation.
Why, yeah.
Not something that you guys can open an investigation on. Who else? What other information do you have that could help yourself and help us when it comes to the people that are involved in the city or any criminal wrongdoing or even allegations of criminal wrongdoing?
I mean, I'm not quite sure that I have any prevalent information, because I don't think they would keep that. I go from my briefing. I talked to David. Greg isn't there. And I'm not sure. I know when I went in for my briefing, Dave said, it was the day that Don Overton letter came out. He said, I've already taken care of this. I have outside counsel. There's nothing to worry about. And I said, okay. I'm not here for that.
Yeah. Thanks for playing. Yeah. How's your relationship with Greg? Yours?
Fairly well. You know, as far as I thought, he was a good manager. I'm more of a private sector type person. So I thought he was doing the right things by the picture he presented, but if the picture he presented is not a true and accurate picture, then, you know.
What about your relationship with Isnardi?
We've never gotten along. I've told that to multiple people.
Why?
We're kind of a bully.
Okay. How so?
I punched a lobbyist at City Hall a number of years ago. Kind of like, you know, intimidating guy. If you're punching a lobbyist out of City Hall, that's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Whatever happened with that?
I'm not quite sure. I think he went to jail for it. I'm pretty sure he went to jail for it. And then that drug the city through some light a little bit. And, it seemed like it was always his show. Not necessarily Andy's show, or not necessarily Christine's show. It just seemed like it was always his show. He was in charge. It was like a dominating presence, you know, when you come in a room, like you guys come in a room, law enforcement's like a dominating presence, like the same thing, you know, hey, I'm just a veteran, I care about everybody, I care about everything, blah, 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 they see this through me, I'm never in a room.
How do you think Link got his job?
I'm not quite sure. To be completely honest with you, how that whole thing played out. But I have also heard that Gabote wanted his person on the job, and Bailey wanted his person on the job, and that they all just settled on that. But they could have been strong-armed in the voting, I'm sure.
But who
you know,
they,
when you think about it.
Who was wanting Link?
I would imagine Isnardi probably wanted him. You know, for him to get his job. I don't know if he had his job before or after that, but. You know, I think that he wanted in that city so he could fix whatever he thinks he might have done. You know what I mean? Kind of, when you play it back, it seems like he tried to put himself in positions to cover up whatever he did. That's why it starts to make a lot more sense when the dominoes are falling. Like, he was always in the right position or trying to put somebody in the right position to be like, yeah, no, we're not.
The Isnardi. How do you think he ended up getting in his position?
I really have no idea. I mean, he didn't seem very qualified at the time. I don't know if a chief of staff goes for a deputy city manager, but I guess if you want to be like, well, I ran that county and Andy didn't do it, then maybe that's what he stood on.
Is Zanardi and Andy still close?
I would believe so. And then, you know, he's got a University of Phoenix diploma. Everybody knows that's the best school in the world. So I'm not, I mean, it honestly wouldn't surprise me if they took millions at this point when you look back at the
whole scheme of things. You have anything?
You ever been out drinking with Trey?
That?
You ever been out drinking with Trey?
Yes.
Anything you want to tell me about that?
Just at Ziggy's, we had some drinks, and then we had some drinks in Tallahassee at, I forget where it was, but it was never anything, you know, it was kind of just fun drinking stuff.
How many times do you think you went out with him?
Twice. Once on a Tuesday, and then once after a council.
Anything
strange? Three times. Two times with Ziggy's and the one time with Tallahassee.
Anything strike you as unusual?
About Trey?
Yeah.
He showed me a picture of a girl, and we're like, oh, sometimes you have to take care of lockers. I was like, oh, that's weird.
What do you mean by that?
You know, I'm sure, you know,
no, help me know. I'm trying to know.
Send a girl to their room or whatever, you know, he didn't elaborate. He was probably pretty inebriated at the time.
Sure.
So he probably didn't know what he was doing. And I had just arrived, and it was actually like a firefighter thing they were having, so we were saying hello to the firefighters. And I believe it was Clyde.
All right, walk me through this in a little more depth, okay? I'm a big boy. I'm not going to blush. I'm okay. I promise.
No, you're good.
Walk me through that incident. He said sometimes you got to take care of a lobbyist.
Yeah, well, we were drinking at Clyde. There was like sorority girls that went through there or whatever, yeah. And they were all wearing like Florida State jerseys, and I was like, whoa, and he's like, I have a no penetration rule. I'm like, where the hell did that come from? And he's like, well, my wife cheated on me, so I'm allowed to do whatever. He's like, you see this? Sometimes you have to send people to lobbyists. And I don't know the exact wording, but I was just like, okay. And it was just a girl and a selfie. You know, she had clothes on, but, I mean, I think I know where he was going with it.
Where do you think he was going with it?
I'd be buying hookers for lobbyists to do stuff where you end up asking.
Okay. He was saying he has a no penetration rule?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Meaning what?
Blowjobs only, I guess.
For him?
Yeah. I would assume because he said his wife cheated on him before that, so I would assume he was talking about himself. Even if I wanted to cheat on my wife, I couldn't. I've been with her 13 years. I would never want to be with anybody else.
Sure, I respect that.
I mean, I think even if the situation was presented like, oh, let's do this, I would just be like, yeah, I'm sorry.
Now, the other times you went out drinking with him, did anything unusual or anything that kind of seemed odd to you happen?
No, Stu was there both times, so that was kind of odd.
Tell me about Ziggy's.
Yeah, I think he frequents Ziggy's, so I guess it wasn't that odd. I mean, I don't frequent there. My mom used to go there a long, 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 long time ago.
Yeah. Well, tell me about Stuart. Did he, when you guys were out, did you notice anything unusual about him?
He was kind of just stuffing his face. He was definitely a little far from it.
Oh, I'm sorry, a little what?
He was just stuffing his face with potato things, you know, like kind of very messy, like you would eat when you're drunk.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so he's kind of a big drinker then?
Yeah, I would say it probably makes me look like a Boy Scout, I would think, from when you start to think about it.
You see any of these guys doing any drugs at all?
I haven't. No, sir.
Heard rumors of it or anything like that about anybody being involved in use or abuse of drugs?
No, sir.
And I don't know, so I'm going to ask, and I hope it doesn't come off as rude, but do you take pills for your back?
I have, yes, sir.
Okay. Do you have a prescription?
Yeah, yes, sir. I did, and we had it forever.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand. I'm not trying
to. Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay.
And it was never like a big.
It wasn't a big issue for you.
And we went. We always tried to go down, and the doctor would say, you know, you can keep something because I do construction.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
You got to keep moving.
Like, yeah. If it's bad news, but then we wanted to go to the old trim. And then ultimately off of it because they're worse for you than they are helping you.
Sure.
You
yeah.
know, and
that's
and
a tough road. Yeah.
Well, they don't even help you. They block the receptors in the brain. So you're not even taking care of the thing.
Yeah, it's kind of tricking your body. That's all it's doing.
Yeah.
And it's still there. Yeah. I'm sorry you're going through that. I know that's definitely tough. Is there anything else about your interactions with Trey that struck you as unusual or maybe we'd be interested in knowing?
No, I know. I think he's very good friends with James Marshall. I don't really. I had several meetings with Marshall at City Hall about the Bayfront community development, but I think they're neighbors and friends. Somebody told me this lady named Goodell, who just hates everybody, which is fine. So I know they're very close. I really don't know too much about Trey. He has that Hyundai Elantra. I don't know if he drives something else. I think he called that a Tallahassee car. And then he opened his firm with Mike Harriott Opolis.
Okay. So. You ever met Mike?
Yeah, fundraising campaign for, I believe it was Rich Workman at his house.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago, 2012.
Okay. Have you seen him since then?
No, sir.
Huh. Any involvement
well,
in this?
All over Fox News.
Well, yeah, other than on TV.
Right back
what's James Marshall, by the way?
What's that?
What can you tell you about James Marshall?
Not a lot. Not a lot. Like I said, I've had several conversations with him. He's definitely a big dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to rip all this stuff off. I need somebody to push this Robert J. thing forward. So, and then they know Mike Levine. I met with those guys one time. So they wanted to build an arena, but had no money. So they wanted us to give them the land or something.
Did either of them offer any incentives for you to back, to push their back and vote?
No. There was four of them at the meeting, at Ichabod's, and they just presented their P3 plan that they wanted to do, the public-private partnership. I looked at it. Okay.
What's normal protocol when someone approaches you? Are you supposed to do that in-house at the city, or is it okay to go on off and review plans and stuff like that off-premise?
We're not making any decisions. They just wanted to show me a thing. And really what they told me, it was more about they were part of a group that kicked them out for some reason, and they said that they had a new group. So that could, Greg re-engage them in their new group, you know, call them.
Who's wanting to partner up on the recycling center?
The landfill thing?
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that's the craziest thing I ever heard. I heard it was a major Capote issue, but I just thought it was a stupid idea.
What do you know about Greg's involvement in different projects? Personal involvement.
I don't, is there like a project in particular? I don't know if I imagine he would be involved in every project, I would think.
But I'm talking about from a personal benefit.
I don't know, sir. There may be stuff, there may not be stuff. You know, I would have thought that those gentlemen made enough money to where they would, like I said, I drive a 96 Ranger, make $20,000 a year. These guys are making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. You would think they would just
be satisfied. Never is enough. What about, what do you know about Herodopoulos?
Absolutely nothing, really. I met him the one time. I know he ran into some issues, and then he went away for, not like to prison or anything, I think he just went away from the political scene.
Yeah.
And then I imagine he has ambitions now because his face is all over everything.
You know, we've talked to you and you've been very helpful and we appreciate it. But looking back on here, just so I understand, what you felt you were in jeopardy on are the payments that Joe made to you?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
That's
Sure. Yeah, well, it's okay. You know, you're politically naive. You made a mistake. Okay. But what I want to make sure is that we don't make a second one. Okay. And the second one would be if there's something else out there that we need to know that you haven't shared with us. Because if you tell us, it's a whole lot easier.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Oh, do you understand my position?
I do.
If that's what we're looking at, what,
Well, no, I mean, I'm just being completely honest here.
Sure.
I've been very intoxicated over this last thing. I have no problem telling you anything.
Yeah, okay.
So if there's something that you know that I may not know.
Okay, well, I'm just making sure that we're clear.
No, yeah, yes, sir.
Is there anything that Joe has shared with you or anything with him or anything else that you think we need to know? That, you know, before we take off and all that, that you tell us so that way we already know. Yeah, we had this conversation. Brian's on board. He told us everything. He was on, man, the guy was great. Told us everything. I want to make sure that we can say that in good conscience.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay.
We can't have something spring up when we lobby for you.
Yeah, I don't want to go to bat for you and then look like a moron.
No, no, not at all.
Because if there is something that pops up afterwards, if it's an incidental thing, not a big deal. But we come, we find out that. You know, because the bottom line is people are going to try to save themselves. People are already trying to save themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And someone comes along and Joe says, well, you know what? As a matter of fact, I gave that Brian this, and this because he was supposed to do that, and that.
Yeah.
Those are the things we can't,
yeah, no.
Those are the things we can't go back on.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's anything if there's anything
there
that you haven't told us about when it comes to any of the people we've spoken about, now's the time, because once you become a pickle, you can't go back and make a cucumber. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yes, sir. No, I'm honestly I don't like the whole thing. You know what I mean? It puts me and my family in a very, very bad situation, and that's the only reason that we're here today.
All right. So there's nothing else that's substantial like that? I know that you were intoxicated at times, could have said or done, you know, and I get that. But I'm looking at substantial things. Somebody gave you something. I need
No. There was never any of that.
Okay.
Never any of that.
Okay.
And after my election, I think my integrity was there.
Okay.
But
you dropped your integrity for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And again, you had desires to do the right thing. I get that. And it was a lapse in judgment. Is that what you would call it? That's what I would.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Okay.
When were you elected, by the way?
November
16th, right?
Yeah.
All right, Brian, do me a favor, raise your right hand. Do you swear and attest that what you told us is the truth, nothing but the true self you got?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right.
If I can think of anything else.
Okay, and you may. Look,
yeah.
We've talked for a while. And, you know, some of these things you were drinking, you know, there could be things that you remember later. And like Brad said, we're probably going to touch base with you on Monday-ish or something. Would you be willing to do that? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Let me speak to you for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Can you excuse us?
Yeah.
In a moment, go for a walk.